You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. The NBA might be on the brink of civil war as certain players question if the season should resume at this time. Why that message, and not the messenger, is important to listen to. And I'll also talk about why some of the league's brightest stars, including Bam Adebayo, are looking for added insurance protection in Orlando. Let me start with my first point there. Rumblings about players being dissatisfied with the NBA's proposed plan to restart the season in Orlando began in the middle of last week. You probably started to hear some rumblings from players that they weren't sure if this was the right time. They still had lots of questions about a number of things. They also were a little worried about the confinement rules regarding the bubble, whether or not they'd have family members available, lots of different things there. Those rumblings culminated in a reported Zoom conference call that took place on Friday, lasting about a little over an hour and a half, reportedly about an hour and 40 minutes or so. The call included 80 NBA players and some WNBA players, including Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwight Howard. They were among the most vocal leaders on the call, although everybody was given an opportunity to voice whatever concerns they were. Like I said, there were a number of issues that have come to light from either that phone call or the conversations that took place in the days just prior to that call. The NBA plan was approved with some flexibility just over a week ago. It was approved by player representatives from the 22 teams that had been invited to Orlando and the National Basketball Players Association. Of course, the NBA governors had approved the plan just days before that other vote by a wide margin of 29-1, with the one exception being the Portland Trailblazers that thought maybe there might be different ways of rolling out the plan. I'm not sure that they were opposed to appearing in Orlando altogether, just that they thought the plan needed to be tweaked somehow, and that the front office felt that maybe there were some changes that could be made there, and players on the team felt like they wanted to voice those concerns, and the front office voted in their favor. So that was the one differentiating vote there. But several players have since pointed out that they did not know exactly what they were voting on, nor did they have an opportunity to voice any opposition to the plan. As a subheading there, in a league driven by superstars, even voting for the general safety of everyone involved in the proposed tournament is still defined by that type of hierarchy. There were G League players or lower level players that don't make much money and don't have long tenure in the league. They just didn't feel comfortable voting down stars like LeBron James, who has been very vocal about restarting the season and wanting to compete for a title, because this might be his last best chance to do so, considering his age and the fact that, well, it's not that his skills have waned, but he's just at a point where he could possibly challenge for a title this year. He's obviously in a title contending team with the Los Angeles Lakers, and here's a good chance of him being able to push alongside Anthony Davis for a title. But there's other players like Chris Paul, who happens to be the president of the Players Association, at least from the player side of things. There's no word about specific players that feel that way as far as whether or not they don't have the same kind of vocal vote, although Mo Bamba over the Orlando Magic expressed some concern about it, according to a piece from Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes. But just to put an example that you might be familiar with, again, just an example, not something that's been reported or anything like that. If you look at the Miami Heat roster, maybe a guy like Duncan Robinson or Gabe Vincent, you know, Gabe Vincent being from the G League for most of the season, Duncan being in just his second season as an undrafted player that's not making a whole heck of a lot of money, they probably don't feel as comfortable voting against somebody like a several-time All-Star like Jimmy Butler. Again, that's just an example as far as the Heat roster is concerned, but you could see how that kind of hierarchy plays out in each of the 30 teams. There are invariably guys that have louder voices in the locker room, either because they are the team's biggest moneymaker, their biggest star as far as their on-court production, or also because they've just been in the league for a whole heck of a long time and they get a pretty loud voice. For example, Udonis Haslem. It's also been reported in the call that every player that felt, you know, uncomfortable should feel comfortable offering their opinion. And older veterans, guys specifically like Carmelo Anthony were mentioned. They made sure that everybody understood that point, that everybody's voice is equal on equal footing, and that there should be no one who is made to feel uncomfortable for any reason whatsoever. There are still other concerns about the potential health risks and factors that have yet to be detailed or finalized. For one, there are concerns that the reported bubble won't be much of a bubble at all. Tom Hammerstrow of NBC Sports is reporting that Disney officials have confided to him that employees won't be confined the same way, or cast members, as Keith Smith explained to me in a podcast last week. That's how they're referred to internally by the Disney Corporation. They won't be confined to the Disney campus the same way players will. And so they'll be free to come and go. They'll be able to go home, and invariably they'll be able to go out to restaurants, bars, which are unfortunately open in the state of Florida. And if that's the case, with the number of positive tests rising around the country, and particularly in Florida, this seems like there'll be a great deal of potential exposure to the coronavirus on behalf of the players. And so there are concerns that the bubble isn't going to be much of a bubble at all. Players do feel like being confined to that quote unquote bubble, no matter how porous it might eventually become, is a concern. They want the same freedoms that all of us do, to be able to go out and come and go as they want to. Although, as Keith explained to me on the podcast, they're offering a number of perks like movies, games, anything that you might imagine from your home quarantine are going to be available to players in their luxury hotel rooms. And still, that might not be necessarily enough. There are going to be concerns, as always. They'll be missing their families. Family members will reportedly be allowed to join the remaining teams following the first round of the playoffs, where roughly only 8 teams will still be in the chase for a title. Of course, there are 22 teams now. Some of those will be eliminated before by a play-in tournament, and then you'll only have 16 teams in the playoffs. After the first round, you'll only have 8 teams moving on. So it'll be family members for players of those 8 teams. Either way, they'll still have to face the same kind of quarantine rules in place for players. That could be a little difficult, as well as a little tricky to enforce. The concerns are likely not as big an issue because players will be monitored closely, as discussed with Keith last week. There'll be plenty of security to monitor who comes into the park, and probably going to be security measures at the hotel and on-court facilities and things of that sort. There could be chances of people sneaking out, or even tourists who are there visiting the park trying to get past security, but it's been reported that anyone who does make contact outside the bubble, any player that is, could be quarantined for some time, and that's in the middle of a playoff race. They likely won't want to face that risk. Perhaps the most glaring concern is that the resumption of the season will be taking away much-needed attention on protests taking place around the country and the world. As a league comprised largely of black men, many of whom have been very vocal in recent weeks and have been active in protesting the Black Lives Matter movement, there's a concern that playing games in Orlando will be a distraction from the importance of that movement. The movement, of course, to end systemic racism and police brutality. And so with those concerns in place there, they're not sure whether or not the season makes a whole heck of a lot of sense at this point in time, that maybe it's worth considering just canceling it outright. I'll get into some of those concerns. Unlike the need to end racism, that last point is a difficult one to reach any kind of agreement on. And at one point, there seemed like the league was going to be split as to whether or not playing or not, where people on both sides making valid points regarding whether or not the season should continue. I'll get into some of those, as well as Kyrie Irving's somewhat problematic involvement in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Time is a concern for all of us right now in one way or another, and one of the best apps that you use to fight that time crunch is Blinkist. Let me tell you how it works. It's really unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or even listen to. I like Blinkist when I'm driving around now that I have a little bit more freedom, although I'm still not going to places that I once did frequent. Either way, you get around, you listen to books on all sorts of topics, relationships, communication strategies, business, anything that you could possibly imagine as far as the thousands and thousands of nonfiction books that they have available to them, you can find on Blinkist.com. So that's what you should do. Go to Blinkist and get that unlimited access to read or listen to their massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for a low, low price. If you go to Blinkist, they have a special offer now for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days. Free. That's always great. And then you get 25% off your new subscription once you do subscribe. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and then get 25% off when you save and sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. I also want to talk to you about Built Bars. I've mentioned them before. If you haven't tried them out, you're doing yourself a disservice. It's the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. It's got all the nutrients you want. Low fat, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's got everything that you're looking for, and they taste great. They're like a candy bar. 16 great flavors. So many people I've talked to about them around the network, family and friends that have tried them, love them. They swear by them, and they're great. And right now, you can save a lot of money by going to BuiltBar.com, choosing any one of those 16 flavors. You can get a box of those. You can get your own mix and match box with different flavors there. I recommend all the flavors that I've heard from guys around the network. Everybody that's a host has gotten a box of those, and they all love different flavors. It's a phenomenal thing to be able to try these different flavors, and again, to get them for a discounted rate, that's amazing. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order. It's a great tasting protein bar that's good for you too. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Listen to and subscribe and leave a review whenever possible on your favorite app to listen to podcasts, and that you always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. This is a quote attributed to Kyrie Irving. I don't support going into Orlando. I'm not with the systemic racism and the bullshit. Something smells a little fishy. An additional quote from Kyrie goes on to say, I'm willing to give up everything I have for social reform. Kyrie Irving is the face of the opposition to the NBA plan, and that is somewhat of an issue there. His past as a provocateur is coming back to haunt him a little bit. If you recall, Kyrie, in addition to being several-time All-Star, great player, and NBA champion in 2016, he also made some news, rather unfortunately, a couple years ago by saying that he believed a flat Earth theory, and that's... He did not necessarily trust science books and things of that sort. And he's since kind of coiled back on those comments a little bit. And my feeling is always that he was just kind of trying to needle media a little bit. I think he was trying to use the point that you can't always read what you believe, and that he used the media to some point to kind of convey the belief that maybe we're all too trusting, a little too gullible, kind of going back in some way to... history books are written by the victors, and so you don't always get a full and nuanced perspective when you study as much as you do in class and school. The way the school system is currently rigged, it's a limited perspective, but not a very nuanced one. And so for Kyrie, part of that was to say, why do we believe that the Earth is round? Just because some scientist says it is? Because we trust that the NASA organization sent somebody to the moon 40 something years ago, whatever. The point is, I don't know if he necessarily believed it or not. No one ever does for certain, except for Kyrie. But the point is that he was trying to needle the media a little bit. At least that's my feeling, that that's the case. He's also got a reputation as somewhat of a bad teammate. I was there in Orlando when he was in his second season with the Boston Celtics, when he had come back from injury, and trying to accommodate him along with Terry Rozier and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, all these guys that were young, up-and-coming stars, at least in their opinion. They were conflicting with Kyrie and his version and interpretation of leadership. And he made some pretty public comments there that were not well-received by anyone. And so... he's always kind of ruffled some feathers there. He's, notoriously fought with Dion Waiters when he was in the Cleveland Cavaliers alongside Dion. He challenged LeBron during the few years that they were together as teammates. He also forced a trade away from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so his reputation probably somewhat well-earned. I think he's just a difficult personality, an unusual one, especially in an NBA locker room. And so it's hard to kind of pin him down. He just wants things differently, somewhat perhaps like Jimmy Butler, and by Jimmy's own admission, he changes his personality a lot. He ruffles a lot of feathers. He likes kind of pushing the envelope a lot. I don't know if Kyrie does it the same way. I don't think he's necessarily the same kind of strong personality that Jimmy is, but he is. Well, he's very eloquent, and sometimes he comes across as being very disruptive. And so that could be a problem, especially when he's trying to make a valid point about the NBA's plan. He's also already getting paid, and I think that's a big concern for a lot of people that they're bringing up, is that, why is Kyrie saying anything at all when he's already keeping his money because he was injured before the end of the season, before the start of the season? He's not going to be playing in Orlando anyway. And so for him to be getting paid and to saying, well, maybe guys shouldn't be attending, that seems kind of disingenuous considering he's already going to be getting that money. But he's also said that he'll be in attendance on the sidelines and with his teammates. So he does plan on being there, even if he's not going to be playing and or at the same kind of level of risk. But reporting on his involvement is kind of indicative of the problem because you have so many different sides of it. You had one report from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN called Kyrie Irving the disruptor. And then you have another one from Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports saying that Kyrie's role on this Zoom conference call that took place on Friday was inspiring and that he had some very valid points to say. I personally kind of like Kyrie. I know he's a problem for some because if this has shown anything, again, with those two very disparate kind of reports on the same incident, the same news, you show that everybody has some kind of an agenda, whether it's a reporter that just wants the league to resume, whether it's somebody that clearly wants to advance their own, you know, business or their own interests in the media or anything like that. It's just somebody's always going to have an opinion and you have some sort of an agenda. I don't necessarily feel like I do. I have a vested interest in the league resuming because I do make money and profit off of it. But at the same time, I do want the players to stay safe. I also want the movement to get the kind of attention it deserves, and rightfully so. So I know that for Kyrie, he's a problem for people to accept because he's different. He's unique. He's an unusual voice in a very, I'm not sure what the word is. A lot of people around the league can be very formulaic in their responses. You get a lot of stock responses there and not a lot of creativity when it comes to what you think and what you feel. And Kyrie is very different. At worst, he's fake. And the only one, again, who knows the sincerity of those comments are him. If he's just trying it to be fake woke, and I've seen a lot of people report that, or that, you know, kind of making jokes about him having a third eye or being some kind of pseudo guru or pseudo intellectual, all possible scenarios. We don't know for certain because we lack the kind of opportunity to be privy to his inner workings, his inner thought process. And so we just kind of get a conversation here and there. We see some points, we can make our own opinion. And again, a lot of those opinions are shaped by our own personal agendas. So it's very, very difficult to gauge whether or not Kyrie is being sincere or not in anything that he does, especially of late. He could just also be an asshole that challenges the status quo just for the sake of, you know, poking and prodding the way he did, you know, with the flat earth theory that he proposed a couple of years ago. There's no way of knowing. You know, at best, however, he is a thoughtful individual that comes across as flaky because he's outside of the box when we expect players to fit a certain perspective or profile. And I kind of like people who challenge that, you know, the nonconformist personalities. And for Kyrie, if he's being sincere, then I can appreciate that sincerity that he just kind of likes to say, you know what, why are we doing this? Why are we just being kind of, why not challenge the herd mentality? Why are we being forced to our potential doom or slaughter here? And I like that perspective. So I applaud that he was willing to take a chance. I'd have to talk to him more closely to know for certain, but I feel he's somewhere closer to that second category and that he just recognizes there's some faults taking place here, that this plan is incomplete and that we're kind of being forced to do something to some degree that we might not necessarily want to, particularly when there's so many other larger issues at play here. Now, as far as a differing point of view, there have been several players that kind of said, well, I'm not certain I agree. I like Kyrie's passion, or I like what he's kind of saying to some degree, but I'm not quite sure I buy into it 100%. Again, perfectly valid. Austin Rivers made a very interesting argument, not necessarily against Kyrie, but kind of showing the other side, another nuanced way of thinking about the situation. He said, and this is a quote, "Us coming back would put money in all of our being NBA players' pockets. With this money, you could help out even more people and continue to give more, importantly, your time and energy towards the Black Lives Matter movement, which I'm 100% on board with because change needs to happen and injustice has been going on for far too long." Rivers also know that a lot of NBA players need their paychecks. And again, to that point, Irving has made a lot of money, more money, according to Rivers, than 99% of the league. That's probably true. And he's already getting paid anyway. Players around the league, as much as we'd like to think of them as being rich and having all sorts of luxury items at their disposal, there are a lot more paycheck to paycheck that we like to admit. They pay their agents, they pay their managers, they pay their representatives, they pay their ex-wives, they pay their girlfriends, they pay their moms or their cousins or anybody who's affiliated, they pay business interests outside of basketball. They, by the time, let's say you have a, I made this point before, you have a yearly salary of $5 million. By the time taxes are taken out of it, you probably get 60% of that. Let's say $3 million. And that's probably over exaggerating. Then you pay 10% to your agent, another percentage to your manager. Again, now that number that went from $5 million, that sounds impressive, it's probably closer to two, maybe even less than that. Then you give out money to, if you have children with somebody that you're no longer with and you're paying spousal support or child support payments, that cuts into it pretty regularly too. And then again, business interests, family members that are constantly asking for money, as well as your own need to kind of live a NBA lifestyle that you're kind of pressured into doing, where you see a lot of guys putting up money for suits and cars and flashy jewelry and things of that sort. You don't want to be the guy driving a Honda Civic to the arena and things of that sort. So, that could be a little difficult. And again, now by the time you've met a $5 million per year salary, chances are you probably are taking home closer to $1 million or maybe less than that. Again, still a pretty significant amount of money. Not the kind of money that you can afford to just kiss off, however, if you've got mortgage payments and all the other expenses that I just talked about. Rivers also added that NBA games can keep some kids at home because he thinks that they might prevent them from going out and getting into trouble due to the, quote, unfair and unequal environments that a lot of African-American kids are placed in. That's a perfectly valid point, and I understand what he's trying to say is that maybe if you're watching games at home, let's say you're a kid who with the potential for getting into trouble, maybe you're in a gang, maybe you want to be affiliated with somebody, maybe you're just bored and you don't know what else to do, you don't necessarily want to stay at home, maybe you can go and do something else and that could lead to trouble. It's a sad reality, not because they're victims of the situation, as Austin points out, is that they don't have the same kind of luxury of having so many different options. There are not a lot of places that they can go, particularly in the inner city or something like that. He also added that, I love Kyrie's passion towards helping this movement. It's admirable and inspiring. I'm with it, but not at the cost of the whole NBA and players' careers. We can do both. We can play and we can help change the way Black lives are lived. I think we have to, but canceling and boycotting a return doesn't do that. In my opinion, guys want to play and provide and help change. There's no way of knowing how this plays out and who, if anyone, is more right, because again, I think both sides make valid points. And unfortunately, it does require a side. I have been long a comic book geek, and so this kind of feels a little bit like Marvel Civil War. If you've seen the movie or read the comic books, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you had some players kind of side with Captain America, others side with Iron Man, and you're kind of stuck in middle, and in the middle kind of saying, well, both of you have a point. Maybe that's a weird exaggerated analogy to make there, but I kind of feel like this is where this is going with the league, because it does feel somewhat split. I mean, you have guys on the same team. From what we've heard, Avery Bradley of the Los Angeles Lakers kind of sided towards the Kyrie side of the equation, and that would be in direct conflict with that team's leader being LeBron James, who wants to move on with the season as quickly as possible. So there's no right here, and I don't know if anyone's going to be more right, because you have valid points on both sides. If you boycott the season, as Austin Rivers points out, you risk the financial ramifications that could extend beyond this year, impacting the league for subsequent seasons. Maybe none of that matters in comparison to the lives of Black men and women that are being threatened on a daily basis, but like Rivers pointed out, maybe that money could be made and used to fund the BLM movement further. But if you participate in Orlando, to Kyrie's point, and one made by others as well, it's that you could have had people over the country kind of lose steam in fighting for racial justice and equality, because they'll have a chance to stay home and watch professional sports from the comfort of their couch. I know a lot of people who would probably just prefer sitting there with a bag of Doritos watching games all day, especially with so many people unemployed or not having to go to work because a lot of businesses are still shut down, and rightfully so. And maybe they wouldn't want to go and participate in protests. Think about the fact that this is a perfect storm. So many people are out of work, either because they've been terminated or because they just don't have a work to go to at this current point in time, or because they're not in school right now with colleges suspended for the most part, schools closed. There's a lot of people out in the streets at home that have the ability to go out and protest and make these things kind of more public and widespread, and that's a good point. If they have the opportunity to stay home and play and watch basketball on TV, maybe they don't participate in protests as widely as they are right now. And if you do stay home and watching these games, you know, this movement will kind of lose a lot of steam there. And players, you know, they could take a stand. They could bring attention to the movement either by kneeling for the national anthem or making other kind of public statements, wearing clothing, things of that sort. But there's no way of measuring if that's going to be effective or not. Right now, the thing that's instituted the most change that we've seen, again, it's a very small scale and a lot of change needs to happen still, it's by going there and protesting and making wide, loud arguments that change is necessary. And that's where we start to see some measure of change kind of trickle down there. Ultimately, players don't have to attend Orlando. Anyone that chooses, anyone has the right to choose to sit out for any reason, and they just don't get paid. And my feeling is that eventually tweaks will happen to the, you know, the plan as currently comprised, and then the season will resume. And if that's the case, Kyrie has already said he'll be there anyway, that he's willing to side with the majority of players. But he's also right that if the season does resume, taking a stand now publicly and loudly as he has and others is the right thing to do, because he might not get that chance otherwise. Right now, all eyes are on the resumption of the season, and this is his best opportunity. That voice is probably going to get somewhat diluted when everybody goes to Orlando and you're just worried about whether or not the Memphis Grizzlies or Zion Williamson get the eighth seed in the Western Conference, and you're concerned about this team advancing, how Giannis looks after a three-month break, et cetera, et cetera. So many different things are going to go on with the basketball being played in Orlando, so many different factors, from security to the bubble and everything in between, all the different stories that are going to be reported on from within that bubble. Man, the reality is that the Black Lives Matter movement is probably going to get diluted whether players want it to or not. And so I applaud Kyrie for taking the stand, and I think it's necessary. Players in Orlando undeniably face potential health risks, but some younger players, including Bam Adebayo, are looking for some extra insurance. I'll explain that situation and more in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Just a reminder that you can reach me online at Locked On Heat using the hashtag AskLOHeat. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that several players are requesting insurance policies prior to the resumption of the season in Orlando if it does wind up resuming. Young players reached out to Michelle Roberts, the president of the NBA Players Association, and those players were all entering the fourth season in the NBA, and they're all on the cusp of signing potentially millions of dollars worth of extensions. Among the players listed by Wojnarowski in his report, De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings, Jason Tatum of Boston Celtics, Kyle Kuzma, I don't know why he's there, but he's with the Los Angeles Lakers and he's included in this group, Donovan Mitchell, supposed to be the Heat player, but either way, he's now with the Utah Jazz, and Bam Adebayo, current Miami Heat All-Star. Those players are all among the 2017 draft class, one that includes Lonzo Ball, Jonathan Isaac, Markel Fultz, Zach Collins, and OG Anunoby. I'm not sure if they're not interested in insurance, or if they're not eligible for the same kind of hefty extensions as the other players are, or maybe they just don't have the same oomph as the first five that I mentioned, but either way, they were not included in the report by Wojnarowski. These policies would cover just the shortened season that's intended to be played in Orlando for however long these players are in that bubble. Again, if they're within that first team, let's say the Sacramento Kings that are facing elimination, or the Portland Trailblazers that have to climb over other teams just to get the eighth seed, those teams face early elimination. So if they're only there for the three or so weeks of the regular season, eight games being played, it's 2 weeks. If they're there just for those 2 weeks, the insurance policy would only be for those 2 weeks. And so for other teams, you know, teams like the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma, who expect to be there for a long run, and as does Miami, as does Jason Tatum and the Celtics, those would be considerably longer deals. They would also be paid for by the league. At least that's the request being made by these players, ostensibly also by the Players Association. Wojnarowski reports that even a policy like this could cost, quote, in the neighborhood of $500,000. The expense, as Woj explains, is because the extensions are in jeopardy, and you know, are worth north. I'm sorry, the contract extensions that are in jeopardy are worth north of $100 million. So that's a lot of money being sought out by some of these players. There's also the risk of an injury being incurred during the shortened season, whether from COVID-19 or not, that these could be potentially career threatening. Woj notes that proving that those future earnings could be impacted, whether by injury or not, is difficult. Unless it is clearly determined to be career-threatening, something that is likely difficult to prove to insurance companies trying to cover themselves against having to pay these policies out in the first place. So insurance companies, as is their wont to do, are going to cover their ass. They're not going to give out money if you get COVID-19, if you blow out a knee, God forbid. If these things happen, there's very little chance that you can prove to insurance companies that you won't be able to recoup some of that money some other way, unless, again, they turn out to be career threatening. Even a pretty extensive injury, like a severe back injury or a bad leg injury, you can always come back and recover from that. You can rehab from that. And so there's no way of knowing whether or not these insurance policies would actually cash out the money that would be owed to these players. For the Heat, the obvious interest in all this decision-making process will be about the well-being of Adebayo, whether or not he's covered by this policy. It wouldn't impact the team at all if the policy is covered by the league, although I suppose there's a possibility that the cost of the policy, again, if it's $500,000, could be shared by the league and by the team for which a player plays for. So, you know, Sacramento could cover De'Aaron Fox half these with the NBA. Maybe, you know, Miami would cover half the expense. Who knows? Again, this is just something that I'm proposing. I'm not sure what the bill would be for either the team or the league. And so there's no way of knowing whether or not they'd be hooked for any amount. But I also think it shows a couple of things here of importance. That one, Adebayo sees himself as a future star, not just a one-time all-star, a fluke, but someone poised to make a lot of money during his time in the league. He's going to cash in and soon, and he wants to sign that extension, and he feels that maybe there is a threat that extension could be in jeopardy if he incurs some kind of an injury there. Whether they're publicly on board with playing or not, again, the Heat team as a whole seems to be on board with the idea, but there's also the recognition that there is a threat to somebody's health here. And so they're going into this with eyes wide open. They know that there's some danger involved. Perhaps they're willing to suspend that concern because they can compete for a championship or just compete, period. For a lot of these guys, whether they're going to be advancing or not, they want to be able to play basketball again after a 3-month hiatus. And as I've noted before, this is probably the longest they've gone without playing basketball in a long, long time. Even guys that have extensive leg injuries are almost invariably out on the court at some point shooting around doing something. This gives them an opportunity to be competitive again. So it's interesting. There's no resolution on this right away. Again, Bam's role in this is, worth noting because he is a future star. He is a current and future star. And he also sees himself as a star on the rise. And that's a great news for the Heat front office and for the team's fans because he's a guy that you can build around potentially. So right now we have Jimmy Butler, we have Bam Adebayo, and who knows if you can add another potential star later on. But with Bam being signed long-term to an extension, that certainly helps as far as luring other free agents in the future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Coming up later this week, I'll be recording an upcoming mailbag episode with questions you've sent in via email or Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat, but there's still time to keep them coming in, so make sure you send those in, again, via email or Twitter or any way possible. Let me know, and I'll include them in the upcoming mailbag episode. I'll also be talking about the possible acquisition of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Brought in an expert from the Milwaukee area who knows Giannis and knows the team pretty well, and I thought it would be a good perspective. But I'll also be airing my 2-part episode with one of the greatest wing defenders in Heat history and the team's current director of scouting, Keith Askins. It's a great conversation that you won't want to miss. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be able to get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support. Yeah! Back it up, D.